It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Oh, I'm so excited. Jeff Jarvis has the day off. He'll be back next week. But Gina Trapani is here, and she's joining my good friend Christopher Michael. It's perfect for Veterans Day. Christopher was the founder of Military.com. We'll talk about that. Photography, Google, smartphones, smart watches, miniature drones. It's all next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by Cachefly, CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 326, recorded Wednesday, November 11th, 2015. Flying cell phones. This Week in Google is brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/twig. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/twig. It's time for This Week in Google, the show where we cover the latest, not just from Google, but from the Googleverse, from the cloud, from Facebook, from Twitter. And look, lo and behold, Jeff Jarvis has the day off, but we decided to bring in a ringer. Gina Trapani is here, founding editor of Life Hacker. She's now at thinkup.com, where she does Make Your Base as well. Gina!
Hi!
Hi, Gina!
Good to see you.
Getting ready for winter number two in New York?
This one's going to be better, Leo. This is what I'm telling myself.
Couldn't be any worse.
This one's going to be better. A little more used to it. A little more prepared. I'm ready. I'm steeling myself.
Holy cow. I'm thrilled. We had him in the chat room, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And I said, is that Chris Michael? Get him on the show. Chris Michael drove up. He is now a venture capitalist, an angel investor with Nautilus Ventures. A photographer. In fact, I see you brought a pretty nice camera, a couple of pretty nice cameras along with you. But it's really appropriate that you're here on Veterans Day because we met because you founded Military.com, a website, very early website for the military. We used to talk to you all the time on the news, on the old screensavers.
Loved it.
Yeah.
1999.
Did you sell it?
I did to Monster.
To Monster.
Remember that company?
Are they still running it?
They are. Still around.
Good.
16 years.
That's great. And, of course, you were in the military yourself. Tell us about your service.
I flew P-3 Orion subhunters as a navigator and mission commander for 7 years. Loved it, worked in the Pentagon, and then went off to...
In the Navy or the Air Force?
The Navy.
You were a naval aviator.
Naval flight officer, yeah.
It's
like Goose and Maverick, except I lived.
Anyway, it's really great to have Chris here. We were just looking a little bit at the veterans, the little tiny, but I think still pretty moving Veterans Day parade we have here in Petaluma. And we get the vets from, you know, going all the way back to WW2.
You have a lot of Coast Guard here, I saw.
A lot of Coast Guard. There's a Coast Guard base nearby, and so we get a lot of Coasties. And it's fun. It's really, it's a nice time of year, and it's a great parade. But I think it's also, I'm really thrilled that we can have you here to remember the men and women who've served in the Armed Forces of the United States.
I'm psyched to be here. I love this office. It's amazing.
Is it great?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Like it?
It's incredible.
Nice.
And I'm so excited to be here with Gina. I've been a fanboy forever. So
she's the greatest.
She's the greatest.
She's the greatest.
That's why I'm actually here.
Just as we begin, where should people go if they want to see your photography? Because Chris is doing such great stuff. Portraiture primarily. Although, I mean, your travel photos are amazing, too.
So I just did a piece for Outside Magazine on the North Pole, which was pretty interesting. But if you go to my name, Christopher Michael, MICHEL.com, you can see some of the photos. Or I post them on Twitter.
Yeah, I follow you on Instagram. Oh, yeah. I see a lot of stuff on Instagram. Great portraiture.
Yeah, that was my Nat Geo picture.
Oh, that's
nice.
Yeah,
that's the penguin jumping out of the water, kind of near the South Pole. And
that's a classic, huh?
Yeah.
And by the way, is that you in a flight suit there? Are you, is that you in a U-2?
It is, yeah.
That's
that is badass photo.
Yeah, I'm basically like an astronaut.
Yeah,
best selfie ever.
You do great astronaut pictures too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think were you into photography back in the military.com days, or is it?
You know, just
new?
A little bit, but after my second company, I said, "What is it I really want to do?" And it's tell stories with photos, and it's really fun.
So cool,
isn't it?
Yeah, the problem with the U2 flight though is it was a one-off thing. So after my week of training and my flight up to the edge of space, I realized that might have been the greatest moment of my life, and it was all downhill rapidly.
Now you know how Buzz Aldrin felt.
It's tricky.
That's it, baby. You're done now. Oh, that is pretty cool. That seatbelt looks a little frayed, though. I'm a little worried for
you. I'll tell you, the spacesuit helps a lot. It makes everyone look epic.
Yeah.
We could probably get you a ride.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's really possible. We have a fan who's a U2 pilot. He was here. We were talking. That is a very tough assignment. You spend how long in that plane when you're on
Well, they can spend like 10 hours on the flight, and it is...
And then you're alone.
Physically demanding.
Yeah, because you're practically at the edge of the atmosphere.
This is me doing weightless training at the at Star City in Moscow. So I went and did a shoot for Yahoo around one of the launches, and I got to do some
fun
space training. It was pretty fun.
You're getting to live the dream now.
Well, it's interesting. You know, is it about the pictures or the experiences the camera brings you? And sometimes it's about the experiences, you know, and the photos are a byproduct.
Yeah, I just use it as an excuse to travel, personally. Yeah. You know? If I were this good, I might take it more seriously.
Well, maybe you should be taking more photos. You have all these interesting people here.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things you've been doing, which I love, is taking beautiful black and white portraits of startup founders in San Francisco. You kind of hang out at Blue Bottle and just wait till they come
in. I do a little. Well, it's funny. I go to board meetings, and I'm the only person that in the heat of the moment, the most difficult like conversation, I pull out my camera and take a few photos. But, you know, the funny thing is we don't remember... Well, we also don't remember those conversations because they go by, and 10 years later, what do you remember? Maybe somebody took a photo, you know?
Really awesome stuff.
What's your preferred distribution method for your photos? This is your personal site that Leo's looking at?
Yeah, it's my personal site. So, I mean, I use, I have a blog, explorers.com, and I tweet stuff. I put stuff up on SmugMug, Flickr. I'm liking the new Google Photos.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's Bradley Horowitz was at the lobby, and we've been talking for a long time. So I had 1.8 million people following me on Google Plus, and it just wasn't working. You'd post a photo and you get all these people commenting, you didn't know them. And I just knew there was a problem. And you know, that's not Google's strength is social. Their strength is sort of utility. So I think there is a bigger opportunity, but I'm generally worried about all of our digital photos because, you know, if Flickr or Microsoft or even Google decides they don't want to give you that storage or something happens to these companies like
Facebook.
That
would never happen. Why would somebody like Microsoft just turn off your storage?
Well, I mean, count on them forever. we could lose the photos, you know? I mean, it's a problem.
That's why I store them on. I do. I use Dropbox, OneDrive, Google Photos, Flickr, and Amazon has a free upload service, too. So I put them on all of them. I figure they're not going to all go snuff out at the same time. I'll have an opportunity.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'd probably once a year do a book. You know, blur book.
Print a book.
That's probably the safest way.
That's going to last, especially if they use good paper, right? And you keep it and you store it well.
It's kind of funny through all this technology, what we're triangulating on is paper.
Oh, this is one of my... I love this picture here. Oh, these are great.
That was from Halloween.
These are amazing. Yeah. I saw this in your Instagram. I thought, wow.
Yeah, I just want to set my Chromecast background to your photo stream there.
I agree.
Right? I mean, gosh, these are really gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, I hope both of you are taking a lot of photos because, you know, you meet all these interesting people and there's an opportunity
Gina?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
Some stories.
Yeah.
Josh and Tree.
Speaking of Google Plus, Vic Gundrotra has found a job. Thank goodness he's gainfully employed once again. Remember, Vic was the guy who pretty much put Google Plus on the map.
Somebody tells me his job search wasn't too onerous for him.
I think he wasn't really looking. But along comes a very interesting startup that allows you to do an EKG on your smartphone. And he's now as of today, the CEO. I think you're exactly right. He probably didn't need the job. In fact, if you look at this picture of Vic from Recode, it looks like he's on the beach. By the way, I'm sorry if you hear helicopters and planes going over. The Veterans Day
is
still,
really
still going on.
Cool sunglasses he has.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're Chanel.
Yeah.
Vic has joined a live core. And this is one of the few devices that has gone through the expense and trouble of FDA approval. So it can do a full ECG. Or I always call it EKG.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's a difference. You get these, which I gather you probably put on your chest. An EKG requires more than two electrodes, but maybe this is enough for them to do what they do.
Can it jumpstart you? It looks like paddles.
It does look like it might be a defibrillator as well.
Yeah. That's what you want to happen in the board meeting. Excuse me while I just defibrillate myself.
Yeah.
Who do you give the control to?
He said, he was seven. People don't remember. He was 15 years at Microsoft, then 7 years at Google. The story goes he just badgered Larry Page until Larry said, all right, we'll do social, we'll do Google+. And then once Larry kind of moved upstairs to Alphabet, there was actually even before then, once Larry kind of withdrew his patronage, there was not much more for Vic to do. And he left in April of 2014. Apparently, Vinod Khosla persuaded him to join the team. Vinod is a well-known VC, and he has a stake in a live core. A live core.
Wow. And he's a CEO.
Vic's the new CEO.
Yeah.
Yes, you say. Probably not too onerous of a job search. You just kind of...
Yep.
Just wandering around, looking for things to do. I did get the new iPad Pro. We were talking about this before the show. I guess I should show this. I just got it this morning. Apple put it on sale at shortly after midnight this morning, Pacific time. And you know what, gang? It's a giant iPad. That's what it is. Now, I've attached it to... This is interesting. Apple's selling the keyboard that they mentioned when they did the reveal. But I decided not to get the Apple keyboard. It was $169. And Apple's also selling at the same time the Logitech Creative keyboard for $20.
That keyboard has Logitech branding on it?
Yeah. It's not an Apple product, but Apple's selling it at the Apple stores. $20 less. And unlike the – let me unlock this here. Unlike the which finger did I? I've just been setting this up. Unlike the Apple keyboard, it has dedicated keys for the iPad, which is oddly something. There's the lock key. It's oddly something that the Apple keyboard itself does not have. Oh yeah, this finger. This has a lot of built-in keys. Just go to home screen, search, switch tab.
It's enormous.
It is a giant. Yeah, let's talk about the iPad. Enough about the keyboard. Actually, you were smart because you brought a nice small MacBook along with you, Christopher.
You could fit like three of those inside of that one. Maybe it could be a carrying case for
the
three
MacBook.
Different...
Wow. Is a little more expensive. Not much.
I bet it's not.
No, actually, this was $949 for the 128 gig, plus $150 for the keyboard. So roughly, it's maybe $100 less than the starting.
I mean, it's a cool device if you can forgive them for the charging port.
It's heavy, much heavier than the MacBook. And Apple's really trying to sell the new iPad Pro as a replacement for laptops. Tim Cook told The Telegraph earlier this week, you don't need a laptop anymore. You've got this.
I do everything on my Apple Watch. I mean, it's basically a desktop replacement.
Yeah, of course. I just have a Bluetooth keyboard for my Apple Watch. And, no, I don't know really. The reviews are started coming out last night. Most people, including Walt Mossberg and others, said, "Hey, it's neat technology, but no, it can't replace a laptop. It's just a giant iPad." Microsoft, though, we were talking to Windows Weekly earlier today. The whole office is on here. So obviously Microsoft thinks this is an opportunity, or somebody at Microsoft.
Can you use it as a phone?
No. No. And in fact, please, people, I beg of you, do not take this to concerts as a camera.
It's the worst.
I don't want to see people, that's great. Look at that. Look at that shot. That's terrible. I don't want to see people doing that.
The thing that was most intriguing to me about the Pro is the pen. Which isn't out yet.
Yeah, that's also another thing. Thank you, Apple. The pen is, of course, the most interesting part of this. Won't be out for a month.
For a month, so December.
December 7th, they said. A day that will live in infamy.
So, I mean, it feels like this is this like other, this like light computing kind of category, like where the Surface is and maybe even the Chromebook. This idea that there's this, like, you know, kind of a laptop, but not really.
That's a picture.
That's great. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a see, I think if Apple was smart, with, and I'm posting that. I think if Apple were,
you've got skills, man.
If Apple was smart, that's what they would say, is this is a unique category. Because otherwise what happens is people go, well, wait a minute, how is this different from the Surface Pro? And I think the Surface Pro is better because it's a full operating system. I feel like this is not, this is an interesting product, but I don't know, it remains to be seen whether it's going to be reinvent the world. And that's what Apple should be saying, is this is a unique product, not it's going to replace your laptop.
I'm thumbs down.
Right, right.
Well, you haven't even handled it.
I don't need to handle it. I've seen everything I need to see. It's a great photo platform.
Can you window apps? Can you run apps side by side on the
Yeah,
phone?
You can. In fact, let me do that. So,
is that Pro only, or is that for?
It's iOS 9. Can do it on your phone. I don't know if you'd really want to on a small screen, but let me see. You could slide this over. See, I said you could. There you
faster.
Go.
It's a long way to go.
And
there
for some reason, I have no idea why I'm seeing unplayed episodes of Twit on here. But apparently that's what Apple thinks I want to do. And then you can, I think you can change.
That's the greatest photo of all time. Honestly.
I'm not an expert on this. But yeah, the idea is you can have half and half somehow. I just got it. So I don't really know. That's the notification bar. This is all the same.
You're going to cut me out of your Facebook profile picture. I can see it now.
Oh, that's just another photo. No, that's just another photo. It is a beautiful screen. I mean, resolution-wise, it's a gorgeous high-res screen. But, you know, we shouldn't knock anybody who wants to innovate in this space, right? I mean, why not? That's great. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll open. I've got Inbox open now. And if I can I slide?
Don't we expect a little more from Apple, though? It seems a bit linear. Just harder.
Harder. Yeah, I don't know. I'm doing something wrong. This is not a review, right? This is just, I got it. I haven't had a chance to play with it. I do have to say, this key, if you're going to get a case, a keyboard, I guess this is a good idea. Although, it makes the thing damn bulky and very heavy. And it keeps turning my tablet on. There you go.
Ouch. There goes the screen.
It's only $1,000 down the tubes. I will learn, and I will show at a later date. I haven't had a chance to do anything with that. Google has acquired a new company called Fly Labs. Speaking of Google Photos, this is actually, in fact, I have this on the iPad, a really nice little video editor. That's very easy. Sorry about the. That's really loud, isn't it? Clonk. Clank.
Don't get crushed under the iPad.
Oh my God. It really makes you feel like it's heavy, doesn't it?
Killed a staff member.
You can still buy or actually download Fly. It's really kind of a cool editing app that lets you very simply create multi-camera edits. You can have picture in picture. You can have. Inspiration video is not available. Okay, there's flaw number one. Because of the acquisition, I think Fly Labs is starting to take assets offline. So if you want to get the Fly Labs app, you might want to quickly get it. All the plugins are free for the time being, the Clips video editor, the Tempo video editor, and Crops on the Fly. Those three add-ins used to be paid add-ins. But it's a nice little video editor. It's interesting that they acquired this. I would imagine that they will... they say that they're going to continue to make these apps available for iOS for the next 3 months, and you'll be able to continue to use them, but there won't be any more updates. I'm impressed by the app. I had never heard of it until Google announced that they had bought
it. Isn't the question, though, are they going to port over the features, or do they just want the team?
That's always the question with Google,
isn't
it?
Yeah, that's always the question. Yeah.
The team is good. I would love to see Google. Does Google have any video editing chops? No. They have pretty good photo editing capabilities built into Google Photos. So wouldn't this be smart to have a nice, clean, simple video editor? Seems like it. Especially one that could take stills and videos, mix them. You can add music to it and all of that. So three more months if you want to get it. It's an iOS product. I think it's great. And I think it makes sense for Google Photos to have a video editor. So I hope they keep the product alive. Let's see.
Are you using Google Photos?
Yeah, I love it. I'm actually surprised to hear that you use it because I don't see it as a pro product. I see it as a very consumer-focused product.
Well, back to your point, I mean, I want to have like a multimodal backup system because I'm worried about everything. So this thing just operates in the background. And right now I'm fine. I mean, I have, I don't know, a million photographs. It's taking forever to get up there, which is one of their problems. But one of the great things is they're doing a lot of sort of image analysis. So I can.
Oh, I do love that.
Yeah. So I can sort. I can find your photos. Right. I can look back. And, you know, you could see where this is going. This is playing to their strength. So I think they will probably be the best online catalog available. And, you know, it's just it's free. I don't send them up there high res.
You don't do the high res.
No.
So
yes,
you do.
That's my question.
The free. You have unlimited free low res images.
Right. And it would cost me a lot to do the high res.
Yeah.
I'm using SmugMug, which I love. So,
which costs you $140 a year or something like that.
It's incredible.
Right? I love SmugMug too. But SmugMug doesn't have any of this back end stuff.
Right.
And that is really fantastic.
It'd be interesting to be able to tie them together. And that, you know, that would actually be possible for a third party to do that, which is, you know, you do all the analysis on Google and then it finds you the most appropriate file.
Right. Yeah, but I think the categorization is interesting. You know what would be really great is if you could keep the raw original photos on a hard drive and somehow have them be linked to the Google Online thumbnail and treat that as a way to find.
You're on the big idea. The big idea is they're the catalog. And it points to the original file wherever it is appropriately.
It is.
Right, exactly.
Including,
or it tells you it's also on Flickr or somebody else's
including Flickr,
using it,
SmugMug. Yeah.
Or anyone else who's picked it up.
It could even do that, couldn't it? Say, hey, by the way, you know, that picture is being stolen.
Or it's being used under Creative Commons.
Right.
Yeah.
I use that on Flickr.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I put your stuff up
on Creative Commons?
I do.
That's
almost
nice
all of
you.
My stuff.
Wow.
Wow. That's
because really you don't have to make
generous.
A living.
I don't.
Well, really, seriously. I have this debate all the time with professional photographers, which, you know, a lot of pros hate the idea that if they put an image on the internet, they lose control of it forever. And they say, but no, this is my product, this is how I make a living. And I'm of the opinion that whether you're a musician or a photographer or a writer, it's not a bad thing to put your stuff out there. You have to find a way to monetize in some way.
Well, people still pay for a lot of the images, but
right.
I make it available. And, you know, the main reason I make it available is for Wikipedia. So my photos are many, many of the Wikipedia pages. Dalai Lama.
It has a credit.
It has a credit.
You know,
yeah.
Photo by
Christopher. And people
Michael.
Get in touch with me and they say they want the original image or whatever. And then there's an opportunity there. But I make stuff pretty available and don't freak out about
You're
it.
You're not worried about it.
No.
Yeah. Trey Ratcliffe does the same thing.
I feel good about it. The more people use the photo, the better it makes me feel.
Yeah. Gina, you've always been all about that. You don't hold back stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I'm go both ways. I mean, I thought about it mostly in terms of writing. You know, I've been approached by lots of websites that ask me to contribute and, you know, get paid in distribution. You know, and that's a battle that rages on. I think people should get paid for their work, but I also believe that, you know, it also makes me feel good when I have the chance to, you know, reach people that I might not have reached otherwise. So it's tricky business, but I tend to err on the side of generosity. I try to open source all my code when I can, and it's usually paid back, you know, down the road and in lots of other ways that I didn't necessarily expect.
I just read an article. Who was that? That was complaining that the Huffington Post, he had written an article and maybe it was on Medium.
Yeah, Huffington Post is one of the examples.
Yeah, and they said, hey, we'll publish it. How much? Oh, nothing. You should be happy we're giving you the distribution.
Yeah, like you thank us for offering to publish
That's
your work
cool.
here at the Huffington Post.
That's...
Yeah, you know, like it's...
Well, I shouldn't say that because I'm not paying you to be here, Christopher.
You're not?
No, a lot of our...
don't try to give me that iPad because I'm not taking it.
A lot of our people who come on for the publicity or for the fun. I think you're not here for publicity. You're here for fun.
I want to get the photos.
Or to take pictures.
Yeah.
But we pay regular hosts. People on a we pay Gina. We pay people on a regular basis. But a lot of the guests...
Gina's getting paid?
What?
No, absolutely not.
Wait a second.
We're going to send her a fez at the end of the year and call it even.
I get paid in fezzes.
That's sweet.
We have a new hat. It's called a chapeau. You're going to love it. So I understand that there is not, it's not unusual to have some sort of tit for tat. People come on Twitter all the time and don't get paid.
Well, CNN has a giant business. I mean, that's television.
Yeah,
right?
CNN's not paying contributors.
Yeah, and those people are working hard. They're showing up at 7 in the morning, making stuff up on air.
I never got paid by... Actually, you know what? I did get paid... you know, Pays is live with Regis and Kelly, or now Kelly and Michael. But they have to pay because of AFTRA, because they're not a news operation. So they pay a union scale, which doesn't cover your...
Well, then I guess I'll accept their invitations.
$982 last time I checked, something like that. But you're right. CNN never paid me because they're a news operation and they're not bound by the union rules. And so, yeah, you show up, you put on makeup, you get dressed because it's good PR. It's good publicity. So I'm not sure that I blame the Huffington Post for trying. I don't blame people for saying no either.
Well, right. I mean, that's the thing, right, Leo? People say no. If they've got, you know, right. If they can't do it, they say no or not, you know?
It's funny. It's a sensitive topic. I was in Luxor 2 years ago in a balloon. Maybe you saw some of this. And the balloon next to me blew up and it killed 20 people. And I took all the photos and tweeted it. And all of a sudden, they wanted the photos for the cover of like every newspaper.
Right.
And I was in the middle of this thing and I just didn't feel right about making money. And so I said, anyone could use the photo for free. And I got a lot of people were saying thank you. But a lot of people were saying, that's not professional. You should have charged.
Yeah.
Oh, like your decision affected other photographers. Who
right. You know, in the industry, right. If you're a professional, you need to charge because we don't want to start this cycle of people getting content for free.
I'm just glad I didn't do a balloon right over Luxor. I didn't realize the...
Oh, yeah. That was it.
That's really hard.
Hmm.
It was not a good morning.
No. Must have been a horrible thing to see.
Yeah, particularly with a tragedy like that.
Yeah. Are you all going to run out and get the new Tag Heuer Android Wear watch?
I don't think I'm the target audience. There were some really hairy wrists in that video.
Yeah, it's the hairy wrist watch.
It's the hairy wrist watch.
Yeah. Our friend Kevin Rose did an article and a review on his, he's now a watch guy, you know, he's the CEO of Hodinkee.
What is Hodinkee a content destination? Is that a content?
Yeah, it's a it was a watch? It's a was a watch blog that's expanded, and
what
now
does it mean?
Kevin told me once. I can't. I don't think it means anything.
Okay, the last URL available. Hodinkee.
Yeah, yeah. All the other names are taken, basically. When I looked at the watch, you know, it is functionally no different than any other Android Wear watch. That's not surprising because that's how Android Wear works. But it doesn't even have a heart rate monitor. So it's not, from a functional point of view, as good as, let's say, the new Moto 360, which is one-tenth the price, or not quite one-tenth, but one-eighth the price. But it is Tag Heuer, right? And it does have, you know, a nice titanium case and, you know. But that display, that's the same as any other Android Wear watch. They come with a... This is what Apple does, too. They come, Apple with the Hermes Apple Watch. It's an Apple Watch, but it has a different watch face and different band. Tag Heuer is doing something interesting, though. They're offering an upgrade in 2 years.
Oh, so you're purchasing two watches, or a watch now and then an upgrade?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's I have to look and see if it's a free upgrade. The watch is $1,500, which is pretty pricey, but not Apple Watch pricey. I don't know.
I'm looking for more stuff to charge every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should see my bedside table.
I went on vacation for a couple weeks to San Diego. It was a really great vacation, and I brought my Moto 360, which I loved.
I love
and
my
wore
Moto
every day.
360, yeah.
Wow.
And I just didn't put it on one day, and I was like, I'm on vacation. Yeah. I'm just not going to.
Yeah.
And I haven't put it on since. Yep. Like, I got home and just didn't put it on because I was like, you know, it's just other thing to charge and the software to update. And while, like, I liked it, it wasn't like if I left the house in the morning and forgot it, you know, that I would go back. You know, from my phone, I would go back. And I wouldn't go back for the watch. And I finally thought, you know, all these wires and this plug and this charger and the software updates, and then it would die. And I would get really mad about that because that shouldn't happen. And I found myself like whipped into an angry frenzy about an electronic device strapped to my wrist. And I thought, this is not.
Wow. Drink some tea, Gina. Maybe.
Yeah, wow. This is not the life I want to live. Yeah, it's all that coffee.
Well, that's funny because that's what Kevin Rose, you know, you'd think Kevin, well, he, you know, he's into watches. Of course, he's into very expensive, you know, mechanical watches, but you'd think he might be interested in Android Wear or Apple Watch. And he hated the Apple Watch. He said, that's the last thing I want to do. When I go to dinner with my wife, I don't want to be pinged every 5 seconds by somebody who's sending me a notification. I want to focus. So the last thing I want to do is have something on my, I mean, really, that's why you get a watch, right? Smart watches.
Yeah.
For the notifications, the health monitoring, things like that.
I really like the steps monitoring. Yeah. And I like the quick, you know, hey, so, you know, set a timer for this long. I do that a lot. But yeah, it just wasn't the notifications are. A coworker of mine got the Apple Watch, and he's like talking to him as every 3 minutes. He's
yeah.
Like,
it's just one more thing to pull you out of your reality.
Mm-hmm. But you know, honestly, if you have a phone, why do you need it? I mean, right. The phone works so well. It tells time. It like, if you want to look at notifications, you got them. I mean,
the Tag Heuer deal is, get this. In 2 years, if you want to upgrade, you can pay another $1,500 and get a Tag Heuer mechanical watch.
Oh, what a deal.
Oh, wow. So you have to wait 2 years.
To get a real watch.
Point, yeah. Who knows what wear is going to be at and like how long the upgrades will. And then you can upgrade to a mechanical. It's sort of like this path toward getting
an incredible
off
marketing
software.
Team.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's weird. But you have to think it's somewhat of a response from Tag Heuer to Hermes, which has an Apple Watch, right? There's kind of like a race. Which watch did you get? Which watch would you make? TensorFlow. This is Google's new machine learning system, and they've open sourced it, which I think is really interesting. So Google has a lot of stuff, you know, they use internally, right? Software and so forth. It's a neural network that has been used internally. That's the one that you probably saw the demos of the computer figuring out where cats were in YouTube videos. It's been used to improve speech recognition in the Google app by 25%. And the Google Photos image search is based on it. This is actually DistBelief, which is their internal project. So they are now releasing the second generation of DistBelief.
That should have been a better name for a Google Plus, DistBelief.
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 It's a strange name.
It's an internal name.
So they said we couldn't share DistBelief because it's so tightly tied to our infrastructure. So we are now doing open source release of a second generation system that can be used by others. It's flexible, general, portable, easy to use, open source. Do you have a need for something like this? I would think ThinkUp could probably use something like this, right?
Oh, yeah. I looked at this and was like, how long would it take me to spin up some AWS instances running this?
Just to see
what it could learn.
Yeah.
This is very, very interesting and really cool. Really cool that they open sourced it. I get that. By, you know, Google makes this kind of thing open source so that other people can contribute and run different tests and have different uses and contribute back to it. But it takes a lot of work to maintain an open source project, to decouple it from your inside infrastructure, to, you know, kind of build up, you know, separate modules and make it modular. And so there's a lot of work that just goes into that. So I've been, you know, sort of continually impressed with Google's commitment to that, to open sourcing things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think the idea is that, you know, lots of people will get the chance to use this and that it'll improve for everyone, which is great for the ecosystem.
Yeah. But you ultimately, to succeed as an open source project, you have to get others, committed into it and working on it, right? Unless they can plan to keep it going internally.
Well, I mean, you know, plenty of open source projects have a company, you know, who are the leaders of that open source.
Java.
You know, Android is you know, Chromium, you know, all those. And so, you know, you're going to have the lead committers and the most frequent committers are going to be Googlers, and Google is saying that they're committed to running the project. So it's unclear, you know, how many outside committers there will be. But just the fact that you can watch the work happen in public and look really into the way that Google gets some of its, you know, does some of Google's technology is amazing and helpful for everyone. It raises everybody up. So it's a great thing.
You know, what's amazing is that AI was a dead deal 10 years ago, right? Everybody said, oh, we tried. It failed. We can't do it. And now all of a sudden, it's the talk of the town. Neural networks and this kind of...
You sent that article ahead of time, and I didn't know anything about it. So I talked to my friend, Siobhan Zillis at Bloomberg Beta. And she said, well, there's nothing that new here. She said, there's other technologies that do something similar. She said, I wouldn't underestimate Google's ability to market it. And there's actually an article out now, and it's like GitHub rankings. It's like the number of stars. And they have like more stars in one day of release than all the alternatives in, you know, months. So,
but that's great. That means a lot. I mean, yeah, okay, so it's not better than anything else out there, but it does mean a lot of people will download
it,
try it.
Yeah, that could be the big thing.
It's got a Python interface. A lot of people know how to, you know, would know how to do that. I could see somebody like Gina saying, well, let's apply. We have a pretty big data set at ThinkUp.
Right.
Let's see what we can do with it.
Yeah. I mean, and this is just the kind of thing that, you know, university student who wanted a job at Google or was, you know, taking a class in AI would download and grab, you know, data from various sources and run and come up with some really neat, you know, neat information and a cool project. So I think it's great. And I think people, of course, Google's ability to market is strong. I mean, there's lots of people who just by the, you know, just because of Google is behind it will be interested in it.
8,865 stars in one day.
Yeah.
I just started.
You just started? So you're one of us?
I just started.
I'm logging in so I can start.
Are you going to code something during the show?
No.
It is interesting when you see these companies take kind of leadership in open source. I'm on the board of 3D Robotics, and Chris Anderson's doing drone code, which is an open source community around drones. It's pretty exciting. I mean, you know, they have another advantage. When you're leading the coalition, you can sort of direct the vector of what people will be doing. So it's probably playing into their longer-term interest.
In other words, people will contribute back to it, make this better, and then they can take advantage of that as well. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's interesting. The PR angle really is a big part of this. We've got the more scientists, smarter people, and we're coming up with the latest state-of-the-art stuff. Who was it that is now – it's NVIDIA is now offering a drone module – for makers. It's called the Jetson, which is I think a good name. It is the Jetson TX1 GPU module for AI on drones and robots. Yeah. Now, it's not cheap. I mean, it's not like Raspberry Pi cheap. I think it's almost, what was it? I saw the price. I thought it was almost.
Well, it's got to be sort of a response to
$599.
Qualcomm's putting everything on the chipset. Snapdragon, they're going to, basically modern drones are flying cell phones.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So you're right. I think that's exactly right. It's interesting, though, that they brand it as a GPU-powered device, which is kind of in opposition to what Qualcomm's doing with ARM and a CPU-driven product. Comes with a Linux SDK. It's about the size of a credit card. It is a teraflop per second, 256 core Maxwell based GPU.
Wow. It's the ultimate gaming device.
Wow. The Jetson TX1. And the developer kit will be $599, $299 for education customers, goes on sale tomorrow. And then the modules will be for sale by themselves for $299 early next year. Just in case you're building a robot. It is amazing, isn't it, that I'm blown away by the fact that since 2007, you know, with Apple's iPhone and now Android phones and other smartphones, we've kind of mastered manufacturing these systems on a chip. We've become very good at interfacing them with accelerometers and all sorts of sensors. And then that was what fostered the emergence of the quadcopter and another industry has exploded out of it. I imagine robotics will do the same.
Well, you think about one of the reasons we want kind of the Apple Watch to work or the Android watches to work is, you know, that's the kind of form factor you want in a drone. You want something that small that can fly for a long time.
I mean, a little bitty drone the size of an Apple Watch? What would you do with that? Swallow it? that's a spy drone.
That's open ROV. They do submersibles.
You're talking a spy drone.
I don't know. I mean, it's just dust flying in the air. It's Diamond Age. Neil Stephenson.
Smart dust. That's kind of terrifying.
Is it?
Well, I guess. I don't know. Do you want the... I mean, I guess if everybody's watching everybody else, then...
Yeah, but it doesn't have to just be about watching.
Well, what else would you use it for?
Listening.
Take pictures. Take pictures.
How about that?
Huh? Singing?
Listening.
Listening. Yeah, watch and listen. Together at last.
Well, you're right. I guess at the end of the day, it's monitoring. But, I mean, you can imagine you're in the city of San Francisco and you have a problem and you kind of wave and you get somebody helping.
And somebody
help
comes.
You.
Yeah. Yep. That's why we're putting cameras up on every intersection. So people will come when you wave.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
It's like Nest Protect.
That's exactly the point. I love it. We're going to take a break. I'm having fun. Christopher Michael is here for Veterans Day. We should talk a little bit about Veterans Day in just a little bit. He's founder of military.com. 7 years as a naval navigator, flyer. Gina Trapani is here. She is, of course, just Gina Trapani, the
superhero,
the woman of my dreams.
Not in the Navy, but here.
Not in the Navy. Not in the Navy.
Happy to be.
But she's in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are naval yards nearby.
And there's a blue bottle right there.
Is there?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to go through withdrawal.
There's a blue bottle in Brooklyn. Oh, I got maps.
Okay, you got to go. All right.
Really, what is... all right, well, that's okay. Another... I want to talk about that, too, when we come back. Blue bottle.
There is.
I have never had a blue bottle. Never.
Did you ever come to San Francisco?
And we should mention that Christopher is an investor, so...
I invested as much as, like, one latte.
Yeah.
So it's like... Yeah. Paying for the whole thing.
I had dinner with Tony Conrad, and that's all he could talk about was
he loves Blue Bottle.
He's like a Blue Bottle evangelist.
He carries a kit with him everywhere he goes.
He said that. He said, yeah. I'll make you some. I said, no, that's okay. I don't need any coffee right now. Our show today brought to you by FreshBooks. If you are a freelancer or a small business, you know that the thing that you love the most in your job, of all the things you do, is formatting and sending invoices, collecting receipts and tracking expenses, following up with clients that don't pay on time. Don't you love that? No, you don't. No one does, except that if you don't do that, you don't make any money, which is kind of the whole point. That's why you got to get FreshBooks. FreshBooks is a super simple cloud accounting program that's giving thousands of freelancers like you the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. I first started using FreshBooks 11 years ago now. When I was going up to Canada to do a call for help in Toronto, and it was such a pain. At the end of every month, I had to not only did I have to invoice them for my time, but I also had to collect all the travel receipts and the vouchers and I would just not do it. Basically, I come to the 31st, sure I wanted the money, but it was like, oh, I just can't bring myself to do it. Then another month would go by, and another month would go by. Pretty soon, I had like 6 months of unbilled money due me, and that did not work when I sent them that invoice. They said, you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to bill us every month, dude. Then Amber told me about FreshBooks, and that changed my life. It's so easy. You'll be able to create and send invoices in minutes, and the invoices look great. You can use the FreshBooks app to take pictures of receipts so you have it all stored and get it right into the invoice. Time and hours, too. They do tracking in the app. No more. They have a new feature, which I love. It's called you get paid up front. You can request a deposit in FreshBooks, and you don't have to cover costs out of pocket or wait until the end of a project to get paid. I love that. FreshBooks automated customer reviews report will let you see all your reviews in one place, post them on your website. They're really expanding it. It is fantastic. And, of course, help is fabulous from the award-winning support rock stars at FreshBooks.com. Try it free for 30 days. Go to FreshBooks.com/twig. Don't forget, when they ask you, how did you hear about us, to say, this week in Google. That's where I heard about you. This week in Google. FreshBooks.com/twig. Don't they wear poppies on Veterans Day? Isn't that the thing to do? Or is that...
In England.
And Canada, they do it,
yes.
Too.
Commonwealth, yeah.
Because of World War II, Planters Field, the poppies. I like that, though.
It's wonderful.
I wish we could do that here.
It's a great tradition.
Yeah.
And it's really a wonderful nice thing. Everyone does it.
Yeah.
The whole country.
You see it in Canada.
Yeah.
Everybody's wearing a red poppy on their lapel. Usually they're kind of flannel. We were in London last year. just before Veterans Day, or I guess they call it, what do they call it, Armistice Day? But they were putting ceramic poppies, a million ceramic poppies, oh, yeah, around the Tower of London to memorialize all the UK citizens who died in World War II. It was quite beautiful. Remembrance Day, that's what they call it.
I was in Heathrow Airport, and there was an announcement, and they said at 12 noon, we're shutting everything at the airport down for 2 minutes just to remember those who gave their lives.
I think that's a wonderful thing to do.
Wow.
We were at JFK on 9/11 this year, and they did the same thing. All of a sudden, they stopped the line at the TSA, and everybody gathered. And then one of the TSA officers started saying, God bless America. And I couldn't stop crying.
Wow.
I was like, And then they had a moment of silence two of the flights took off from JFK. So they had a moment of silence for the two flights. It brought it home. When you live in New York, it's a whole different experience, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal. We were actually in California this year, but that moment of silence that morning it's a big deal.
Oh, well, let's maybe take a little time today on this Veterans Day, Remembrance Day, to remember all of those who gave so much all over the world, but certainly here in the United States as well. Did Blue Bottle buy Tonks? They did. I think they did.
Tartine.
They own Tartine?
Yes.
Loved. I have his cookbook. Yeah. Tonks was an advertiser here. It was a artisanal coffee. Every week you'd get some mailings. And Blue Bottle bought them last year. So I wonder if
Tonks was well-loved as well.
Yeah, we loved them. They were a great sponsor.
Well, James Freeman, who's the founder, and Brian Meehan, who's my business school classmate, they're the two that are really running it, and they are incredibly nice, caring people. And to me, the exciting thing about Blue Bottle not only is a great coffee, but this is the first sort of major effort I've ever seen to kind of scale quality and authenticity. You know, usually when these things get big, they become a little like Starbucks or... You know, can they do it in a real way? And I think the metric is, do the people that work at the Blue Bottles in wherever, Tokyo or New York, do they feel special? Do they feel like it's a cool job? And right now they do. And I think they're going to be able to keep that up. But it's, you know, those people are kind of coffee scientists. They carry notebooks. They really love their jobs. And it's so fun talking to them. It's great when you go someplace where people are really proud of what they do.
You know, I have to say, though... What a great business. You're selling an addictive drug.
Are you looking for them to be a sponsor? This is working well.
The more people drink, the more they need and they love, and you make everybody happy doing it, and it's not illegal. It seems like just how could you not make money selling coffee? Even people... Yeah, I talk to people all the time and say, Dunkin' Donuts coffee, man, that's the greatest coffee in the world, right?
No, you're right. But, I mean, to me, you know, some people are like, I need the coffee. And like New York is a little bit like this, where the people get their coffee and go.
I need the coffee.
Yeah, but in my experience, it's sort of like, Howard Schultz had this, it's
more
the third place.
Thing.
You go there, it's cool people in a cool space. Yeah. You feel like you're part of something neat, you know.
Yeah, and it's addictive, which is nice.
And it's addictive.
It's just a nice little side benefit. Watch out, because here comes Bulletproof Coffee. You know about
right? Yeah.
What's this guy's name? He invented this.
Right.
It's coffee mixed with grass-fed butter. Not regular butter. Grass-fed butter and a oil that is made... Dave Asprey, that's his name. It's an oil that's made out of coconut oil. And Asprey, I just read a long article about him. He was hiking in Tibet and was woozy because, of course, of the altitude. And they gave him yak butter tea, which is...
That's my favorite.
Is it any good?
It's actually not as bad as it sounds.
It sounds
kind of
salt.
It's sort of soupy salty.
Yeah. It doesn't smell like yak, though.
Everything smells a little like yak.
Okay, you're immune to it by then, right? So he felt apparently amazing after this yak butter tea. You know, his altitude sickness went away. I had the same experience in Cusco. With cocoa leaf tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes you feel fine. That would be a good business to start. Anyway, Dave, who is kind of a leader of the quantified health movement, apparently is going to do a chain of bulletproof coffee. So watch out.
It's a great name.
Here it comes.
It's a great name.
It is a good name.
I had some Airzats bulletproof coffee in Boulder this week. It's interesting when you have fat in your coffee. It's kind of an unexpected.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. Haven't people been doing that for a long time with cream? And
yeah, I like, I put it.
Have you been to Phil's? It's basically, that's their secret,
is
right?
Is that the secret? Sugar, heavy cream?
Sugar and cream.
Sugar and cream. That's, well, who
people
needs
love
a coffee?
It. Yeah.
Really? That's what Phil's with a Z, right?
I mean.
You're just anti-competitive.
No, I love those guys.
FUD you're spreading now.
I love them. I love Cyclass. I love Four Barrel.
All I know is I'm going to Blue Bottle tomorrow. There's one on Dean Street. I'm there.
Oh, you didn't know. Oh, you didn't know.
I didn't realize.
We've been wanting to do a coffee show. Actually, I want to expand it beyond coffee. I want to do a Vice show. So coffee, chocolate.
It's funny what you're including in Vice. Do you need me to send you an email with some
cigars
suggestions?
It has to be legal vices. Vice isn't the wrong. Leisure time.
Are video games Vice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you play video games?
I do a little bit.
I'm surprised. You've kind of lived the life that the video game is emulating. You don't really need to do the video game.
Yeah, I'm on the board of a video game company, so they sometimes
they
expect you to use the product.
Games.
And they have amazing products. Yeah,
what company?
KIXEYE.
Yeah, which company?
I don't know KIXEYE. Tell me about it.
Yeah, take a look. Take a look at their games.
Do your duty as a board member.
KIXEYE. But you know some of their games like Battle Pirates War Commander.
So these are
well, they started as Facebook games and then they evolved into mobile games.
Battle Pirates sounds good.
But you know the thing I really love about the company is just all these artists creating incredible things, you know? I mean, in a way that's what I love about Blue Bottle and entrepreneurship in general is just people who are into it, like your staff that were showing me how your control room works.
Yeah, our people
they're
are
into
really
it,
into
you know?
It.
And
yeah.
like
yeah.
when you can like help people that are do the thing that they're into, it feels good.
I'd be kind of interested in, I don't know. I feel like we should cover more of this kind of create, because I think what a lot of people, at least outside of the area, probably in the area too, think of entrepreneurs is really just more about trying to get rich, trying to become a billionaire, right? Trying to make a unicorn. And the entrepreneurs I know, Gina, I include Gina and Anil, are really not about that at all. Right? You're about making stuff. Is that right?
Yeah. Like, well, the idea, it sounds like you're getting at like being passionate about either a hobby or a cause or a set of values, you know, that you're trying to kind of express. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I watch these stupid reality shows like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Whenever they have like on the lower third, like this person's an entrepreneur, I'm always like, yeah, that's just a way to say he doesn't have a job. You know,
it's the new consultant, right?
Yeah. It's the new consultant. Right. And I'm like, you know, but I realize that I guess that's a word that I've never felt or a title that I've never felt comfortable with because I don't consider myself that. I consider myself someone who makes software.
Interesting.
I have to be taking a risk with a business in that process, which I guess is really the definition of entrepreneur. Somebody takes a financial risk, I guess is the literal meaning with a business.
An entrepreneur because this isn't a financial risk.
Do we need to look this up? You guys are both entrepreneurs.
Oh,
right. It's clear.
We're denying it.
Yeah. You're like entrepreneur.
I'm not one of them.
Entrepreneur deniers.
Deniers.
You're deniers.
It's a little bit of a cult of entrepreneur, like in Silicon Valley, that I have a little bit of heart. I feel like, I feel weird identifying with, even though by any definition.
According to Wikipedia, anybody who starts a business is an entrepreneur.
Anyone who starts a business.
It's the process of starting a business, typically a startup company, offering an innovative product, process, or service. And I think nowadays we think of them mostly as tech entrepreneurs, right?
Well, just because of the people we hang out with.
Right. Maybe that's us.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Asprey thinks of himself as an entrepreneur, even though he's selling fat and coffee. Right? So that's an entrepreneur.
It's funny. I just wrote about, what's the objective of entrepreneurship? And you're right. I think probably a lot of people think it's money. Some people have something to prove. Like when I was doing military.com, I mean, I came from a really non-traditional background and felt like I needed something to prove. But I did, you know, I did another company after military called Affinity Labs.
Oh, yeah.
And I think back to what was the purpose for me. And to me, it was kind of the adventure of going on a mission with people you admire. You know, at the end of, you know, we talk about screensavers. All of these people that were really inspired by that experience, and they're all still friends, and they're all still doing cool stuff. And to me, that's the big thing. It's like, can you work with cool people on stuff you love?
Right.
And like the other stuff comes out of that. And that's the thing that I love. And that's the thing in a way that I miss the most about the company.
Why did you start military.com? Had you just gotten out of the Navy when you started?
So I was in the Navy, and then I worked in the Pentagon. I went to business school, and I was kind of a computer nerd programming. You know, my first computer was Sinclair ZX80.
Wow.
To date myself.
All right.
And I came out, and I was at and I really wanted to start a company in 1999. It was the thing to do.
Good timing.
One of those people that was like, if you want
right
to be
before the bubble burst.
If you want to be in, well, you know, I got fired. Do you know this whole story? I got fired and like
for military.com.
Oh yeah, we raised like $30 million. I got fired.
And the idea of the site was a destination for military.
Well, you know, the idea of the site was Facebook for the military. My small mistake was just keeping it focused on the military. I was this close. Yeah.
You could have done Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, it was that close. Anyway, I got to come back to shut
Did
the company.
Did you sue Zuckerberg? You should have. All right.
But I got to come back and shut the company down.
The board fired you.
So in 2001, we were out of money. People were unhappy.
It was a great site.
Well,
I thought you were doing great.
But, you know, there was a lot of think about what happened in March of 2000.
Yeah.
I mean,
the bubble burst.
Well, we had $1 million a month burn rate.
Oh,
so
all right.
There was no more capital.
Wow.
And, you know, this is what, you know, we think that was a unique period in time. This is happening again. Companies, incredible burn rates. And so they're reliant on outside financing. And when stuff started to fall apart, it really fell apart. Advertisers didn't want to advertise. They were done with the internet.
Right.
And basically they hired a gray-haired CEO to take my place.
You're too young. You can't possibly understand.
I was 30. Which
is supervision.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I remember sitting in my office, and he's sitting across from me, and he says, he's in my seat, and he says, hey, it'd be better if you didn't come by the office anymore.
Oh, Lord.
And it was really shitty.
Oh, Lord.
And then then it got worse and worse, and they're about to shut the company down. We're talking to bankruptcy lawyers. I came back to shut it down, and we turned it around.
Good.
So it was nice. We took the 747 and scraped the tail against the ground and learned a lot.
Yeah. So that explains, because I keep looking at like companies like Uber, which is valued at more than $50 billion now, right? But they keep going back to the well and saying, can we have some more? Can we have some more? They're not profitable, right? They're running through this money. Is that right?
Right.
The theory being that if you keep pumping money into it, at some point they take off and make money.
Well, probably like Amazon, they could probably get profitable very quickly, but they're using the capital for expansion globally.
I see.
That's probably a pretty safe investment.
Amazon proved that worked, right? By building distribution centers and reinvesting instead of taking the profit out of it, they built a pretty powerful company.
Right. But some of these other companies, you know, they're going to find themselves in a really big problematic situation. A lot of it has to do with ratchets. Early investors aren't going to be able to make money. You know, there's like only one possible outcome for these companies with billion-dollar valuations that have raised a lot, and that is an incredibly successful public offering or a big acquisition. And that won't play out for at least some of these.
So when you look at a company like Square, for instance, Jack Dorsey's one of his two companies. He's got the Twitter thing as well. So he's got something to fall back on. But you look at Square, where they're planning an IPO, but it's below the value that they were valued at the last time they went to borrow money. Is that a bad thing?
Well, how would you feel if... Well, it depends on the
nature. If you're the investor, it's a bad thing, right?
It'd be interesting to... I don't know the nature of the investment. So one element is, what's the valuation? Because if it's gone down, you might not make money. But sometimes they have protection in the investment. So they might have a kind of protection so that they get covered no matter what,
right?
Which is really problematic for other investors. But I don't know that. I don't know that.
Yeah, I learned about that on Silicon Valley. Right? The one where that was it Silicon Valley I learned that on? I can't remember. I guess maybe it wasn't Silicon Valley, but where the investors have a guarantee against the first dollar. So they get made whole no matter what, or almost no matter what. Unless you go
later, investors oftentimes have something in there to protect themselves.
As well.
Yeah. Gina, did you raise money for your companies?
We did.
Maybe I can get in next time.
I would invest in Gina
I would
and
too.
Emil. Absolutely.
I love all of our companies.
I would absolutely do that.
Company with products.
We raise a relatively small amount.
With the coolest people, right?
we actually, someone from Bloomberg Beta, Roy Bahat.
Oh, yeah, Roy is incredible.
Roy is fantastic. We have some really great investors. We absolutely love them. We very much don't want to disappoint them.
Perfect answer. She's going to keep her job, I think, forever.
That's hard, though, isn't it? I mean, that's one of the I have a friend who had a startup and tanked, and then all those people do get disappointed. But on the other hand, they're big boys, right, and big girls. They know what they're doing. This is a high-risk game. I think it was Jason Calacanis who told me, you know, you can count on something like 80% of your investments to lose money.
Failing,
but,
yeah.
But it, you, if you get one in five, make money, and if they make enough money, you're all right. So it's a risky business.
It is. But it's something like as a founder, I take it extremely seriously, and it's something that I'm working really hard to. make sure that they're glad in the end that they invested in me.
I mean, there's different kind of philosophies, right? There's some people are like trying to find that Uber, right? They want the unicorn company to return the fund, and the data would say that works. So maybe like Ron Conway investing in a million companies is great, but I would rather work with somebody like Gina, and really work on a small number of companies that you really feel great about, that you're part of the journey. It isn't just a financial investment. It's a you're part of a team doing something that matters.
How do you feel about bills like the Jobs Act that change the requirements for investors? Thanks to Dodd-Frank and others, there are laws about what income level you have to have. The presumption is you have to be savvy. You have to be able to, presumed to be able to lose the money and to know what you're doing. And so as a result, a lot of people are kept out of the investment market. And the Jobs Act has kind of changed that. It's starting to change.
Well, AngelList has changed. AngelList. All these syndicates, you join the syndicate, you're in.
Yeah.
Do you
feel like people are going to get taken advantage of by things like that? Seems to me those protections are not a bad idea.
Well, do the protections really protect people? I mean, you can invest in a lot of public equities and lose a lot of money.
You can find a way to lose money.
Yeah, there's lots of ways to lose money. Yeah. I mean, I do think that... we're going to find that the venture business is difficult. Right now, it looks like everybody's a winner. And
yes, it does, doesn't it?
That will change.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it'll be interesting how people feel and react when they lose a lot of money in a syndicate or on AngelList, or like we've seen with Kickstarter and some other things, or even suddenly these venture companies, the companies aren't what they appear to be. And that's usually when regulators get involved.
We're going to take a break. Christopher Michael is here, formerly of Military.com. He's now an investor with Nautilus. And is a great photographer, as you'll find if you go to his website, Christopher Michael, michael.com. Also, Gina Trapani here from thinkup.com. How are things going at MakerBase?
Good. Things are really good. We launched a new feature called Inspiration. So you can go on to MakerBase and you can find a maker like Leo, for example, who you love and who you admire, and you can say that they inspire you.
Oh,
and
I love that. That's nice.
Yeah, which is really cool. It's really neat to see people say, this person, really influenced me and changed my thinking or inspired me to make something. So that's really fun.
And I recognize that gorgeous...
Yeah, there's an inspiration right there. Yeah.
Marcus Sheridan inspires David G. Johnson. I recognize that gorgeous Gina Trapani design. I love your stuff. I really do. Really gorgeous.
Not my design. We have an incredible designer that we work with.
Oh, come on.
Al Roches, who did our logo.
There's a feel to your stuff, though. I just feel like I know that I would look at that and say, oh, yeah, that's a Gina company. I think that's a Gina company. We'll take a break. When we come back, Apple has finally released Apple Music for Android. Is it enough? We'll find out in just a little bit. But first, a word from Blue Apron. I love this company. This is a great idea. Not Blue Bottle. Blue Apron. The Blue Apron is what the apprentices wear at the Cordon Bleu cooking school in Paris. That's a sign that they're learning the techniques of the masters. And I think this is a really appropriate name for a company that does something very special. They deliver meals to you, but unlike other companies, they're not cooked. They just give you all the ingredients you need to make an amazing dinner. For just you and a loved one or for your whole family, you get to pick. For less than $10 a meal, you don't have to do any shopping, and you never have any waste because they give you exactly what you need. And what's great is these amazing recipes. You get this nice recipe card with pictures. There's videos on the site, too, if you need some instructions on different techniques, how to do things. And then you have made an incredible dish. This is a shawarma dish that Jason Howell made, I think, last month from his Blue Apron box. And once you've made that meal... Your family's going to love you. It's a very impressive thing to make for date night. But you'll also know how to make it again, and I think it really broadens your repertoire. They don't say it's a cooking class in the box, but I feel like it's both a great meal and a cooking class in the box. Every meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. You don't have to worry about the grocery store. No more sad takeout. No more fast food. And they can make it easy no matter what your dietary preferences are. You'll get dishes like trattoria-style cheeseburgers with crispy rosemary garlic potatoes and aioli, or coconut curry-braised cauliflower with aromatic basmati rice and cilantro chutney, right in your own kitchen. You'll be using new ingredients. By the way, those both were from this week's menu. That's what's neat. The menu changes every week. You pick the recipes you want. You can arrange the deliveries so they match your schedule. They come in a nice refrigerated box, all fresh, never frozen. And the produce comes from local farms, picked at the peak of perfection. Just delicious stuff. And you'll use ingredients. I've been learning some really nice new ingredients that you'll want to use again, like watermelon, radishes, and farro, and purple potatoes. Right now, get your first two meals free. Go to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. Check out this week's menu and get your first two meals free. blueapron.com/twit. This week in Google. This week is kind of wide-ranging. Anything you want to talk about? Because we got two great people here, and I always want to give our panelists the free rein. Christopher Michael and Gina Trapani. Finally, took them a while. Apple finally released Apple Music for Android. And Gina, I think, have you looked at it yet?
I haven't looked at it. I actually, now that it's on Android, I have a reason. I have a device, yeah, and a reason to really look at it. I read a little bit about it when Apple Music first came out. People seem to like it. But, you know, with Spotify and Play Music, I don't feel like I have a need for it.
I don't either. I continue to subscribe to both Spotify and Play Music. What I find interesting is Apple making what is clearly like a nice Android app, right? I mean, this is Android-y, isn't it?
Yeah. So now, is it called Beats Music or
no,
is that something different?
It's called Apple Music. It's not anything like the original Beats app. They did have a Beats app for Android, but I think they went back to the drawing board. It actually, if you use Apple Music on an Apple device, well, you'll immediately recognize where you are. The onboarding process is the same with the red bubbles and stuff. But it's also native. I mean, this hamburger menu, that's not on the Apple. That's a very Android-y look.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think this is nice. It's really Apple's first app. They had another one called, Switch to iOS, which I don't think that counts. but clearly they hired some good Android developers and I think did a nice job.
I have to take a moment to kvetch about the Play Store's search capabilities. If you type in Apple Music right now into the Play Store,
yeah,
you don't get the Apple Music app. It's very weird.
I think what I did is I just searched for Apple, and then you get the two Apple apps. Yeah, Apple move to iOS.
Okay.
Forget Beats Pill Plus, unless you have a Beats Pill. And then there's
Apple. Yeah.
I know, so but I agree with you.
I mean, it's really weird.
Why is this so hard? Google, you're in the search business.
I know. This is their core competency. It's really strange.
Yeah. Very odd.
But I'm downloading it now. Apple Music on iOS devices and on OS X, that it works through iTunes, right? I've been avoiding iTunes like the plague for years now.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about iTunes. iTunes is the canary in the coal mine. Those Apple people have some problems.
Where is
my music? Tell me where my music is. I can't find it.
Yeah.
Is it in the cloud? Is it in the
It might
phone?
Be. It might
is
be.
It, is it in Apple Music?
Could be. Yeah. Where do you want it to be?
Wherever I need
it. It'll be anywhere you want to be.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Don't get me started on iTunes.
We're simplicity.
Even Apple, rabid Apple fans hate iTunes.
Right. It's true. Even the Apple blogosphere, tech blogger types will rag on iTunes.
No excuse.
This is an impressive. Somebody at Apple definitely read the Android design guidelines. So that's nice.
But of course, because it's an Apple product on the Android store, you've got 2,831 star reviews from probably people who never even tried it. Just garbage. More garbage for Apple. Why would you ever use Apple? Lots of bugs, buggy. I don't know. I've worked fine on my. Hey, this is the 6P, Gina. Did you decide what to do with your phone? Have you?
Yeah, I got the 5X. I canceled my 6P order and I did the 5X. Yeah, I just wanted a smaller phone. 6P was just a little too big for me.
I know a lot of people are very happy with the 5X.
I like it. I like it a lot. It felt a little flimsy at first because it's light. It's lighter than the
It feels empty.
It feels
like
it's
an empty plastic
small.
Shell.
Yeah, it does. But it's a nice phone, and I've been really enjoying it.
Good. So I'm glad you're happy.
How's the 6B been for you?
You know, at first I was having problems. In fact, I think people who watch regularly saw me just struggle with this thing because the camera was unresponsive. But I think I was running an app that was causing problems because now it's just fine. So what I did is I rebuilt it. I don't know if that was necessary.
Well, that makes me want to rush out and buy one right now.
No, it's good. It's good, Christopher.
I just rebuilt
it.
I just got into the code base.
I just rebuilt it. I just refreshed it.
Google AI algorithm.
I just refreshed it. But I don't think that that actually was necessary. I think I had an app on here that was just notifying all the time, and it was keeping everything else busy. But I don't know. I it's a beautiful screen. The fingerprint reader is amazing. I mean, I don't know what your experience is on the 5X, but... You know, on the 6P, it's on just like the 5X, it's on the back here. And it's just, you don't even have to do the on button. You just touch it and it's, you're in. And I just really love that.
It's my first experience with a fingerprint sensor on any phone, and it has been amazing.
Oh,
not
so
having
fast.
To enter my LastPass password, being able to unlock the phone.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really great. It's a huge upgrade. Just in like, you know, every time use, I use the fingerprint sensor.
And we have
every
the same camera in the 5X and the 6P. It's a great camera, I think.
Yep, great camera.
Is it fast enough to get at it in motion?
Yeah, it's been taking great photos. I'm on Instagram. I posted a few photos on Instagram, and yeah, it's really nice. I'm still in the habit. You know, I always take a bunch of her at once, and then one of them.
Well, this has that feature, that burst mode, where if you take a bunch of pictures, you could it picks the what it thinks is the best one.
Yep.
I wish it would throw out the rest, but
yeah, I need to play with that a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I turned on HDR, and it does that like processing progress.
Yeah,
bar right
I could do without
and,
that. You probably should turn off HDR, but. On the other hand,
I think I need to understand a little bit more what I'm actually getting for all that time, that processing time. And I'm not totally clear.
Battery life's pretty good. Still not great. I think the 5X is maybe even a little bit less, I think.
Yeah, it's okay. By 11 or 12 at night, I'm down to 5%, which is fine. I should be going to bed at that point anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
It hasn't quit on me in the middle of the day.
That's right.
This seems surprising to you that they haven't launched that as a feature, like the two-day cell phone. I mean, wouldn't people rush out and buy that?
Just make it a little bit thicker.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I mean. I think people would be okay with that.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. Everybody's decided, except Apple. Apple does that. The 6S Plus goes forever. But everybody else has decided, well, we'll just give you fast charging and just charge it. And then you don't have to worry about it. That's not the solution.
I agree.
I'm with you. By the way, notice I am using Firefox. I found out yesterday that you can run... Firefox on Android, and it supports all the Firefox desktop plugins, including uBlock Origin, the ad blocker of choice, and my ad blocker of choice. And sorry, Paul, we're blocking the ads. Sorry. And LastPass as a plugin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
So Firefox.
It's a little slower because it loads a bunch of extensions, but a lot faster because it blocks all the ads.
Yeah, and ads on mobile are a real problem.
Yeah,
Apple really kind of stirred a hornet's nest by making ad blockers possible on the iPhone. But I think that people have seen, wow, what a difference!
Cool. I'm gonna have to try that.
Yeah. Chrome support going away for XP. I feel bad about this. First, Microsoft pulls the plug in April and says, we're not going to update XP. We're not going to update IE. I think the last version of IE for XP was IE8. I was telling everybody, well, if you insist on using XP, at least use Chrome because that's going to be kept up to date until April. So 1 year after Microsoft pulled the plug on Windows XP, Google's going to do the same with Chrome. Just a word of warning.
Seems reasonable, right?
Prepare yourselves.
Who's using XP?
Lots of people.
Is that right?
You want to see a shocking pie chart? Windows usage by...
How many people are using Windows 3.1?
Version. I don't think there's a whole lot of 3.1. XP still has 12.5% market share. Let me see if I can find the graph, because it's
how many of those people are using AOL dial-up
and my Yahoo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I wish I could. This graph does not look real good.
I imagine a lot of users are kind of like my, you know, older relatives, where it's like they had an XP computer, they just moved on to a smartphone and a tablet, just never turned off or upgraded or changed the desktop computer, and they're just kind of stuck there on XP because they just stopped buying new desktop computers.
Well, they think of it as furniture and it's not disposable like it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the TV still works.
Right. They, by the way, probably still have a tube TV.
And, you know, and let's face it. I mean, Windows really lost its way with Vista, right? So I think people just kind of...
Yeah, they didn't want to go to Vista.
Yeah.
And by then, it was like they're just stuck in it. Good news, they're not going to merge Chrome OS and Android. Are you relieved about that, Gina? We didn't get to talk with you about that.
Yeah, I imagine that you got that you all covered last week.
We were very upset. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you were very upset at the prospect of them merging.
Yes.
I mean, there's still this like question in my mind about it, right? Like there is this like there's two major products that are like really different and yet really similar. But and so the outcome in the end, just to make sure that I'm up to date, that Google said that there's no merge happening. We're committed to both still.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, am I happy about that? Yes. It still feels like an unresolved issue, though. I mean,
it feels like they're reserving.
Like, we're moving towards something's going to happen. And I just don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know what.
You know what I'm very interested to see is what they do with the Pixel C. Because I feel like this tablet is potentially what they meant. First of all, it's a Pixel, right? Up to now, Pixels have been Chromebooks.
Chrome OS, yeah, Chromebooks.
It has the kickstand, kind of like, you know, that's the new thing. All the kids are doing it, but it's Android. But I wonder, and it's delayed, right? Or it's just not going to be out till next month. I wonder if this is going to be the first iteration of something that's a little bit more like a desktop or like Apple. And I don't, why are these companies doing this? Is there a hue and cry to turn your tablet into a laptop? Because that's essentially what this is all about, right? Is taking desktop OSs and making them touch and then making them more tablet-y. And if you had to, you could add a keyboard. Well,
don't underestimate the revenue implications of having the additional things we can sell people.
It's just more stuff we can sell you.
I don't think that this is about consumer demand. I mean, I see these commercials about, you know, the laptop. I don't know what device it was, but it feels like a manufactured, like the companies came up with this thing to sell to people. I just don't know anyone who's like, I really, really want. I don't know.
We'll see.
Well, if you want that, get a MacBook Air. I mean.
Well, right. Yeah.
Like, this new MacBook, which is better than an Air, I think.
Yeah.
You said you don't like the fact that it only has one port, the Type-C.
Well, I don't like I'm upset with those
you
guys.
You probably bought
doing
the
that.
$80 dongle, though, right? I did.
I have the dongle, but it's just one of those things you just don't remember to bring.
I find, though, that I connect stuff to the computer less than I might have
imagined
that I did. And not having, you know, having that simple form factor, there's a lot to be said for that.
It really works great. I'm a fan.
Yeah. I actually really like the MacBook. Not that that matters on this show. This is a Google show. Anything new about Facebook? They're launching this probably today or tomorrow. Their new app for news. What is it called? Golly. What is it?
Notify.
Thank you. Wow. Facebook Notify.
Is that out yet, Megan? Is that Messenger?
It's not out yet.
No.
So who was it was telling me on Twit that really the battleground now in mobile used to be the front page, right? You want to be the icon on the front page of your iPhone or Android device. Now the battleground is the notification, because the notifications get right in your face and say, hey. And if you can get in that notification space, you can do so much better.
Have you ever tried to turn off notifications on Messenger? It doesn't work.
It doesn't like that.
No, it doesn't
like that.
No,
Facebook knows this very well. So Notify is going to give you notifications from news outlets and other sources. It's, in effect, Facebook's bid to own the notification space. Can you believe that?
Do you want more notifications or less?
Well, weren't we just talking about that? But I don't want them on my wrist. I don't want them in my pocket.
I don't want them.
I mean,
I want the right notifications. Don't you want the right notifications?
What notification do you want?
When your mom sends you an email.
Okay.
When your wife calls.
When your Uber's arrived.
When your Uber's here. When that package got delivered that you were waiting for. I made the mistake once of installing some, like CNN New York Times and Wall Street Journal and turning on breaking news notifications in all three.
Seems like a good idea, right?
Seems like you would never miss a thing. They sure let you know about everything.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing.
Hope you like
right?
hockey, because like- you're going to hear about all of the championships.
There are circumstances when I want breaking news alerts. They're very rare. I mean, I want to know if a plane hits the World Trade Center.
Right.
Then I'd like to know the
right.
moment that
they,
that happens.
They overuse it.
They overuse it.
Maybe Michael Jackson dies. I found out about that on Twitter. I mean, you know, maybe, but like really most days I don't want, there's
so
no
you don't
breaking
want,
news notification that I need.
You don't want a notification for Vogue about the 10 best dressed people this week? Because that's one
that
of
would,
the things you would get.
That would just, it would make me enraged.
Your daily meditation from Headspace? No, it shouldn't be in the notification. I'll do that when it's time. I don't want to be notified. Flashback station from Getty Images.
We need notification blocker software. That's what we need. We need the anti-notify app. If they had that, I would
unnotify me.
Seriously.
Hey, I know you got to run, Gina. Let's take a break if you want. Do you have a tip or pick or anything you'd like to give us before you get going?
I do. I have a quick tip.
All right.
Should I do that now? Or should I
yeah,
do that
go ahead and do it now because I know you got to get out of here.
All right, cool. Thank you. Well, the quick tip this week, and I just start to see this in my own app, Inbox for Gmail, which is
love it.
You know, the Google app. Love it. They just introduced, and it's rolling out now, as I've seen it in my own app, this new feature called Smart Reply.
Oh, you got it's it? I
really
want it.
Smart.
I got it.
Smart. Yes.
Everyone's got
so,
it.
So, okay, so this is how it works. Jason, before
you
went on vacation,
I should look at my email more.
Okay. Sent me this email and said, hey, Gina, you know, we're on for TIG tomorrow. You know, well, you'll get a call at regular time. Like, I'll be off, but like, it'll be great. You know, okay, cool. You know, see you later. And so I open up this message in Inbox, and underneath the message, I got three choices for reply. And they were like, sounds good. Appreciate it. Roger that. It was like three natural language responses. And I got to tell you, those are responses that I would have absolutely responded as sounds good. So you tap on your response and the one that you want to send, and you get a chance to edit it if you want, and you send it. So this thing is basically suggesting responses based on the content of your email.
Is it on your Android or on your desktop? Where is it happening?
It's in Android.
See, I'm not getting it. I must be.
So when I invite you for the blue bottle and you're like, no way. And I'm like, why did you say that? You're like, well,
I just pushed a button.
Automated. It wasn't me.
I just pushed a button.
No, that was me.
Yeah, what? This was okay. Sounds good. Thanks for the heads up. Copy that and sounds good. Thanks. Like these were some of the responses.
Oh,
and
man,
you'll see
I
the responses
that.
Kind of at the bottom of the screen.
Gina, does it look like it's learning or are they canned?
It's learning.
Oh, wait a minute. I just got one. Okay. Yay, it's working. Christopher Michael says he won't be here because the traffic's terrible. So I can do nice, got it, or thanks.
Thanks. I mean, they're very generic.
That's appropriate. I'm going to send you got it.
Got it. And you can edit it. You can add something else or whatever.
But it's using keywords, right? So it is going to...
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't do it for every email. Because I tried other emails.
Yeah, let me...
See, it doesn't do it for every email. And you don't have to say a reply. It just does it.
Wait a minute.
Here it is. Steve Gibson sent me a note saying, holy crap, iPad Pro tomorrow. Oh. And I say, oh, look, woohoo. That is great news or awesome. It saw that there were all those exclamation marks in there.
That's pretty good.
And said, oh, well,
that's pretty good.
Clearly. Let's see. Woohoo.
Wow. It's really good. Scary good.
Yeah. So it is looking at Google reading
you
your mail.
There's a setting there where you can just have it automatically reply without even looking at the email. That's where we're going.
Oh.
That's where we're going.
I should just be able to turn that
on. Yeah, pretty soon it'll just be AI to AI.
It's just random.
We can just stand back.
Random crap. Like,
I'm not seeing it on every thread. I'm looking at another thread which has been gone on kind of long and has had different tones at different times, and there's just no suggestion. So I think that it only shows you suggestions when it thinks.
Maybe that's your suggestion to not reply to that email. Sounds like a bad email.
Yeah. Archive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe like if it can't understand stuff, it doesn't answer in it. So that's cool, though.
Yeah, it doesn't suggest anything. So it is pretty cool.
By the way, that was interesting. You see what it just did? I had your email up on my desktop. I opened it and got it into an Android here, and it put it in the desktop, too.
Oh, weird.
I didn't know that the desktop
live updates. It's pretty sane.
A little bit of Google Wave sneaking in there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Rest in peace.
That was painful. I shouldn't have brought that up.
It was a little bit sad, but I like that Wave lives on.
Wave lives on in
other ways through other apps.
And we now know that Gina Trapani lives on. We're so glad to have you here, Gina, and I'm glad you continue to do the great work you've been doing. And anything you want to plug?
Not too much. I think just MakerBase. Check it out. It's MakerBase.se. Look up your favorite makers and your favorite projects and tell them that, you know, that they inspire you, or add their coworkers. We're just, you know, trying to kind of give everybody the credit they deserve and to celebrate makers and to get projects, weekend projects, little projects, student projects, art projects. It doesn't have to be a company or big product, just something that you tried out. And we're hoping that to inspire people and to help people find other great collaborators. So I hope you'll check that out.
You have added insights from Instagram to ThinkUp. So now it's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook Insights.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. Nice. We're ramping up for an end of year bonanza on ThinkUp. We're gonna do all through the month of December. We'll be doing your year end Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram insights. So that'll be a lot of fun too.
You can see who can see, insights. So it could be just me, or it could be public. Everyone can see the insights.
Everyone, just you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't mind if other people see my insights.
Cool.
Do I?
Can I see your insights?
If your Instagram is public, then chances are you should be fine.
Oh, so that would be for people whose Instagram isn't public. That makes sense.
Yeah. This thing where it shows you when you've edited your bio is really interesting.
Isn't that weird?
You really learn a lot about people.
Yeah.
It's made me a little self-conscious. I'm like... Do I want to delete that company off of my...
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
You know,
I guess he got fired again.
Yeah, I first heard about it from James Cham. He's like, why did you, like, remove that company from your bio? And I'm like, how do you know that?
Somebody's watching? It was the drones. They were watching.
Yeah,
Drones are watching.
It's really such a clever idea.
ThinkUp.com is another great Gina Trapani project, along with Anil Dash. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you so much, Christopher. See you soon.
Coffee on me.
Yeah, awesome. Blue bottle.
Yeah, we'll be in touch for sure.
Say, I know the owner. See what they do.
If you're ever in Brooklyn, do ping me.
Okay.
And I'll let you know if I'm on the West Coast.
You should get him to do a portrait of you.
I would love to do that.
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing. Okay. Yeah. We're going to make that happen.
Come by and see you and Anil and get the offices. Take care, Gina.
Cool. Take care, you guys.
We're going to take a break. And then I want us to do kind of a little segment just with Christopher, because you brought some fun cameras. We'll talk a little bit about photography.
Are we going to shoot? Or are we going to?
Well, nobody wants to see you take pictures of me on the air, unless you think that would be interesting.
I don't know.
Are you going to do boudoir style?
Yeah, boudoir.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can bark like a dog. isn't that what you do in the boudoir? That's what I do.
Yeah.
Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. There you go. ZipRecruiter.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the unenviable position of doing the hiring at your place of employ, whether you're the HR department or just it's you, you're the boss, you got to know about ZipRecruiter. It will change your attitude about this. And it should, because to be, you know, candid, I think this is one of the things I've learned is the people you hire make the business. A bad employee can ruin your business. A great employee can take you to the moon. Your company is the people you hire, and that's why you can't take this lightly. Of course, it's the worst time when you're shorthanded to have to find new people. So, you know, sometimes you might rush through that process. Don't use ZipRecruiter. You'll post jobs in more than 100 job sites, including Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and Craigslist, all the social networks. You post once, and candidates will start rolling in almost immediately. They also will match your needs with their database of nearly 6 million current resumes, and that's fantastic. So you're going to find a bunch of quality candidates. The nice thing is they're not going to call you. They're not going to email you. All of the candidates roll into your ZipRecruiter interface, so it's very easy to screen them, get rid of separate the wheat from the chaff, and hire the right person fast. I think ZipRecruiter is a boon to building a great company. It's been used by over 400,000 businesses, including Twit. And you can try it now absolutely free for the next 4 days at ZipRecruiter.com/twig. We got an email from Scott, a happy ZipRecruiter client. He said the recruiting process used to be so painful. You know how that feels, don't you? Before, I'd post to several places. I'd get a million resumes, but only a few responses from qualified candidates. It was torture. But with ZipRecruiter, we post once, we get qualified candidates in one easy-to-review place. We have hired some of our best employees using ZipRecruiter. Use ZipRecruiter. You got to. It's amazing. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/twig. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TWIG. And you got it free for 4 days. And that's probably enough to hire that exact right person right now. ZipRecruiter.com. So you were always a little bit of a photographer, Chris? Yeah.
Hey, Leo, can I ask you a question? I'm noticing the chat board here. These are people that are
those
following.
Those are people watching the show.
And I've been watching it the whole time. And I just want to say you have really incredible people watching the show. Very nice. People are really sweet.
It's funny. I started doing this in the early 90s when Dvorak and I were doing radio. And this is IRC. I mean, it was always IRC. Yeah. Even at Tech TV, we had that 3D chat going on. But having a live studio audience and a live chat audience, I think, is a great way to kind of keep me honest, to focus us, but also to give us good ideas. And they get off target. You know, a lot of times they're just having fun. But that's fine, too.
Well, it's not like discussion boards where people kind of go crazy. People are super nice. They're like, a great weekend, Gina. Mars Worm's like, hey, so nice having you on the show.
Yeah.
Nice people.
Yeah. There's some of the best people I know are in the chat room.
Do you know some of those people? Names?
Some I've actually met.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And a lot of people you're seeing are always here, right?
Oh, I love that.
I've met a few of them. They're really kind of fun people. And they smell good, says MN7. Yeah. I can't vouch for that. I cannot vouch for that. But the other thing is they're all over the world. So that's kind of fun, too.
It's incredible.
Yeah. The internet. Thanks to the internet.
Yeah.
We're everywhere.
It's really amazing.
So.
Cameras.
You have a Rolly, which is making. Now, is that a film camera?
Oh, yeah. It's a film camera.
That's a medium format film.
It is.
That is a work of art and a beautiful thing. But why would you shoot film nowadays? Just because you like the hardware?
Well, so you have a lot of old cameras around the studio.
We do. None of them functioning, unfortunately. Oh. There's a camera. There's a shot, as you can see right there. You can actually position the camera where your laptop is.
Oh, yeah.
And people can see it. Yeah, that is a... This is what a twin lens reflex, right?
Yeah, maybe this is...
So you shoot from the top. It's what they call a belly shooter. You shoot down from the top. And then you're seeing through the top lens, but the camera shoots the bottom one. Is that how it works?
Yeah, exactly. Well, so I've had some of these cameras around for display because I thought they were beautiful.
Cool. Okay.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Did you see this movie, this documentary, Finding Vivian Maier? Do you know this movie?
I didn't see the movie, but I know the story. Yeah. It's an amazing story. She was a nanny and never published her photos, never showed anybody, but took amazing street photos, black and white street photos in the 50s, I want to say.
In Chicago. So basically they bought her storage facility when she passed away. And in there was, you know, thousands of rolls.
Found all these.
120 film.
Yeah.
And I saw this movie and I couldn't recommend it more. I mean, her photos are incredible.
It.
She's got to be one of the most prolific and profound street photographers of all time. And the photos are great. And actually, she used this camera. She used the Rolly.
Oh, you can see it in some of the images.
Yeah,
her
self-portrait, which is usually one of the first shots.
You can see her.
But there's a few unusual things about this camera. Not only does it take incredible photos, but you're also shooting at a different angle. You're not shooting down.
You're standing up.
You're standing up and you're shooting
And you're
across,
looking down. There she
and
is.
And it's more subtle. And so I'm like, well, I have this camera, so I'm going to get some 120 film and started taking pictures. And the quality is incredible. Incredible.
You take 12 pictures at a time.
Ten.
You can't review them.
Right.
Until you develop them. And, oh, by the way, you have to develop them, right?
There's no.
You take them to a lab?
Yeah. Maybe we should talk about this because I get all these questions all the time. So I shoot film 30% of the time. So I shoot mostly 35 millimeter, but some 120. I take the pictures and then I put them in a little mailer and send them to North Coast Photographic Services and say, I want the scans back.
Now, so they don't just develop, they develop the film, but then they scan the negatives.
Yes.
So you're going to get a digital image.
Right.
And now, is it noticeably better, though, than a good quality SLR? Well, so you also have the Sony A7.
Do you want to see a scan?
Yeah.
Should we do it on your computer?
Yeah. Is it on your website?
Yeah. Go to my website.
Okay. Is this the secret entrance?
This might be the secret entrance.
Don't show anybody what we're seeing
right
now.
Okay, let's go.
Your site's on SmugMug. Here, why don't you log in, and you can do it.
Okay.
Right? Only reason is because my laptop's connected, and you have some weird, funky Type-C connector on yours we can't do anything with.
Well, you don't even have, like, I have to know where all
the keys
are.
Actually, I think we have the cables and everything somewhere, because I have a Type-C as well.
Oops. Excuse me one second. But
my friend Chris Marquardt, who's also a part-time film photographer, says that one of the benefits of doing this is you have to be very thoughtful. You don't have the luxury of shooting 50 images, checking them in between, resetting until you find the right shot. You have to, in your head, get the shot right, and you have to really think about it.
What I'm doing is very meditated portraiture. So, right. Like, I'm light metering people.
By the way, that's another thing. These don't have light meters.
Yes, this one actually has an old light meter, but I don't trust it.
Yeah.
So...
So you have to buy a light meter so you can... Remember when the photographers would come and they'd put a thing on your forehead and they go, let's check that. Yeah. And they're getting the light reading. And you have to translate that. Is this where you wanted to go?
Yeah, this is where I wanted to go.
So this is a unretouched scan or... Yeah, I see these images on your Instagram all the time. I just love them, these portraits you do.
There's a lot of pictures.
And which film do you shoot?
A 120 Kodak or Fuji. And you can get all of it.
You'd shoot a plus X or...
Yeah.
Not Tri-X. Do you shoot the fast?
I do. I shoot Tri-X.
It's a little grainier, though, right? Because it's ISO 400.
Yeah. But it's really...
That's another thing for digital photographers. You can't change the ISO. You got whatever the film is. That's the sensitivity of the film. You're stuck with it. These are beautiful images. Do you mind if we show these as we scroll through?
Yeah, no, not at all. So each one of these is a gallery. So you know some of these people, Kara Swisher, right?
Yeah. She must be fun to take portraits of.
This is a shot that I'm not supposed to show anyone.
Okay.
That's Prince Charles.
What?
You can see him right there. Oh, I'm not supposed to show that.
What the what? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why.
I'm sorry, but the prince does not allow images of himself to be shared without approval.
Let's try something like that. Let's try this. I'll just try. Here's my problem. You can already see it. This is just the portraiture.
One of the reasons I would think you would want to do your own processing, developing, is because then you at least can push the film. I guess you could give the lab instructions.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily, maybe you do. I guess if you're going to push the film, you have to push the whole roll. That means developing it.
You know, Kai Rizdahl from Marketplace?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But we want to pick an image, and you can show me why you're shooting film as opposed to digital. Can you find an example of that?
I'm sorry, I didn't have all this set up for you. Let's see.
And I'm distracting you, of course, by talking to you while you're doing this. Some people can do that, and some people can't.
So these are 35 millimeter film shots. So that's not...
I'm not going to shoot 35. If I'm going to shoot, I'm going to shoot medium format or even large format. I'm going to shoot.
I want
more pixels.
In fact,
you have a view camera too?
In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. I just came back from the North Pole and brought a medium format camera.
Wow.
And you can sort of see this is North Pole scans. Here we go.
So this is the raw scans.
This is a Mamiya. These are, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can sort of get a sense of...
Is there more detail? Yeah. Is it the more dynamic range? What is it that
There's more detail, more dynamic range. Okay. These are color shots. I normally shoot black and white. And you've got a kind of cross-processing here a little bit, right?
Yes.
It looks a little different.
Yes. And is that because of the film you choose?
Yeah, could be the film.
And that's Fuji you're using?
This is... The trip was a pretty incredible trip. There's only one way to get there, and this is on...
This Russian icebreaker.
The world's largest and most powerful icebreaker.
I had so much fun watching your pictures. I guess it was Instagram that I saw, maybe Facebook. Because I'm watching this progress. Of course, you posted those after you got back, I'm sure. But
check this guy. This is the captain. Captain Ramius. He's
out
not joking around.
He's talking like this. Is too much ice to get through here.
Done taking pictures.
You're done. There's no more pictures.
Yeah.
The prince is on the boat.
Yeah, that's kind of
what
he was saying. Yeah. But, this is...
Look at this. Wow, these bulldozers.
This is
what are these?
On a place called Franz Josef Land, which is around 81 degrees north.
Now,
it's this sort of abandoned island chain where all these Russian...
Is climate an issue as well? The temperature on film, don't you have to be careful there or no?
You do. You have to store the film kind of carefully. But I didn't have any problems. I mean, the bigger problem is there's only 10 exposures per...
Right.
You know, so I'm like constantly taking the back out of the...
Now, do you don't have to get in a bag to do that, right? You can do that.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, that's no problem.
Did you bring a bunch of backs with you, or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, backs?
Not
oh,
backs,
no.
Just the reels.
Nope, just nope. Film. So I was, like, changing
so
the
So you're
film.
rolling the film onto the reel as you're going.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stick with digital, because it seems like this is a lot more work.
You'd think so. You'd think so, but, you know, the quality is really, really interesting.
You can tell the difference.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, this is all digital. You know, it looks great. I mean, look, if you need the shot, digital's the way to go.
Look at that. Now, see, if you had said, look at the detail I'm getting in this great medium format film, I would have bought it. But that was digital. And is that the A7R you're shooting?
No,
A7II?
Well, what do I have here, or what do I
shoot? Well, I know you have an
A7
here.
Was
that a Leica?
D810.
Oh,
the Nikon.
The Nikon, yeah.
So, you know, if I have... These are kind of interesting. This is Leica.
Now, when did you go up on the Golden Gate Bridge?
Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about that, or even show these pictures.
Ugh. Wait a minute, because there used to be a way to get up there, but I think since 9/11, nobody's allowed up there anymore.
Well, some people
you have friends, if in high places, literally, that is a great shot.
It was a really interesting.
Is it scary up there? You're wired in, right? You're clipped into that thing.
It's
you're not
a little
fall
scary.
Off.
Well, actually, there's an elevator that goes part of the way,
yeah,
and then you walk up a kind of ladder system, and you get there's a spine, and you walk along the spine, and it's.
But are you clipped into, like, when you go on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, you're actually
clipped
in with...
Yeah, this is different. You're walking up that
cable.
The cable. This isn't that.
Oh, okay.
This is a little
You're just looking out a door.
This is a little more tame.
You're in the tower.
You're in the tower.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
what
not looking
that?
At it.
Wait, we'll go back to that.
What do you think
that?
This is?
Is that a sea turtle?
What is this?
That? It's a dinosaur. The hell is that? Is it a whale?
What's going on here?
It's a whale that is a flying fish that has leapt from the sea.
What's going on here?
Oh.
Oh, look at that. Who's ever, did
it's
you see
Rudolph
what's happening
the red
on the
nose.
Screen?
Yes.
That was genius.
Yes.
Not everyone
Brian
that
knows
up.
Exactly.
This is the shot. So I did a Outside
That's
Magazine
it,
shoot.
It's underwater.
And I flipped the image because he looked like he was
flying. He looks
flying,
like he's
flying. And it was really a cool thing. But
when you flip it, that's the
very few people get that.
Yeah. Brian, you got good eyes. How'd you know that, Brian? Brian Burnett, our technical director. He picked right up on that. He rotated it.
But anyway, this camera takes cool pictures, and I like using it. And, you know, what I'm going to give you at the end of this session is a beautiful print that you just wouldn't get anyplace else.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, part of great photography is things being kind of valuable and special. Right? If I take 1,000 pictures...
Film makes it special.
I think
for
so.
For sure.
I think so.
For sure.
And you're probably more likely to keep it if you like it.
Right.
You know, 1,000 photos on your iPhone, you know, the problem with that really is
it devalues
too many.
A little bit, yeah.
Not a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
It's lost in the clutter.
But don't you find it frustrating that you have to kind of meter it and think about it and you don't know if you got it till you get home? Isn't that difficult, especially after using digital for so long?
There's a lot of non-obviously wonderful things about it. One of them is I don't – like normally I come home and I have to process all day long.
It's nice you can pop it in an envelope.
No, yeah. Well, I just let the film pile up and then when I get 20 of them, I mail them in.
Right.
And you can't really post-process them very effectively.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. So you don't pop them into Lightroom and make them much better.
They're kind of done.
Interesting.
And then the other camera – I mean, I basically have stopped using my SLR except for very specific photo – situations like
you like the mirrorless.
Well, this
I'm a Sony A7 fan. I
okay,
have
this is the
A7.
This is the A7 R2.
Yeah, I
42
have
love megapixel.
It. Love it.
I mean,
love it.
It's
and it's the same. That's the same sensor as in your D810.
Basically.
Yeah.
Oh no, better. It's better.
It's a little bit better.
Oh, yeah,
but,
it's better.
But Sony sold.
And
the
then if you really want to do something special, this is my
put a nice lens on there.
This is my.
Oh, this is the Noctilux.
This is my go-to killer.
So this is a point. Get this. So you know that F2 is fast and F1.2 is really fast.
This is
F0.95, which means but you want to turn off the lights before you can take a picture.
Well, you get
look at
something.
The size of that
well,
aperture.
This way, don't move. Well, you know, the depth of field is incredibly narrow.
It's hard to focus,
so
yeah.
So I have to look right at your eyes through.
And it's manual focus, too. But you actually want that.
Well, I mean,
you
look,
prefer a manual focus
shot.
Because you can't...
you know where it is.
Yeah, I know where it is. Been there, done that. Oh, that's beautiful. You know what? I love the creamy bokeh. And the color is kind of muted. It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Well, there's some interesting lighting in here.
Yeah, I like that.
But, you know, that pop, I mean, that's a special kind of photo, right? It sort of pops.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, this is what I hope for everybody who's getting into photography is that they don't worry about the 10,000 shots. They worry about the 20 shots that they love this year.
Yeah, that's my problem is I have too many shots. I don't know what to do with them all. Well, and it's just I don't have time to sit down and go through them all.
You know, the business that I would start if I was starting another company would be to do an annual like you had in your high school, like you got your yearbook. Everybody should get a yearbook for their year.
Yeah.
Of the few photos that they really care about. I mean, not only for themselves, but like in future generations.
Right.
You know, do you think we're going to have Facebook photos? No.
Get them printed on acid-free paper.
That's what I'm saying.
And put them in a book. Does Blurb do archival prints?
They do very, very high quality. I can't tell you if it's archival or not, but very high quality.
But that's what you'd want, though, if you're saying, well, I want this for future generations.
Well, somebody I was talking to yesterday, they were saying that there should be a service where you mail it to, like, the National Archives.
Right.
Your family album.
I'm going to tell you the truth, though, Christopher. You don't have kids, do you?
No.
My kids, they don't care.
They care.
And when I'm dead, there might be one or two pictures. They're just as likely to look at my old Facebook postings as anything else. And most of the stuff that I've taken over these years and carefully cultivated, they're just going to throw it out. Let's be honest.
You don't believe that.
I totally believe that. We fool ourselves into thinking future generations give a rat's behind about what we're doing. Only we care.
So you don't have any relatives' pictures you look at and you go, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things that's cool is there's like two. Right? There's like two. Daddy, Leo, had 85,000 pictures of every bit of his life meticulously documented and sorted
put
by
together
Google.
Into a movie. Frame by frame.
Christopher Michael, I don't know if it's appropriate to say Happy Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day. Are you going to do you do anything special? Do you remember comrades or anything?
Well, it's funny. All my shipmates, you know, comment and people comment and people thank me. And, you know, I just tweeted about this. I'm always embarrassed when people thank me for my service because honestly, I loved every minute of being in the Navy.
Yeah.
I mean, I should be thanking everyone that's listening because it was super, super fun. You know,
you really
flying
loved what
every
you were
day.
Doing.
It was like, are you paying me to do this?
Yeah.
This is great.
That's great. Well, we still thank you for your service.
You.
And every man and woman in the armed forces.
Well, a lot of people are sacrificing a lot more than I've.
There's some big sacrifices.
Yeah,
so even if they're having fun, that's fine. We appreciate what they've done. And it's a good thing. I'm so glad you could be here on Veterans Day or Remembrance Day or Armistice Day or whatever you call it.
Coincidence?
I don't know. Are there any coincidences? We do This Week in Google on Wednesdays, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. That's 2130 UTC if you want to stop by and visit. This was a fun one, kind of a little more relaxed. Jeff Jarvis will be back next week. I think we'll get into the subject of Mizzou and more. So please do stop by. If you can't watch live on-demand audio and video, always available after the fact at twit.tv/twig or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to be in studio with us, just email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. We'll put a nice canned ham under each and every seat. I knew it. I always get somebody to look. and you can be part of the festivities. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google. Bye-bye.